political humorist and satirist Bill Melberg, who is one of America's greatest political humorists. Bill Melberg from Chicago. Happy New Year. How are you, my friend?
Happy New Year, Stevie. And Happy New Year to our Connect FM listeners.
Well, Happy New Year again to you too, Bill. And as we head into 2012, I must say, 2011 was quite a year, my friend, wasn't it?
Yes, it certainly was, Stevie. And during this past year, natural disasters were frequently in the news. Killer tornadoes tore through Alabama and Missouri last spring. Hurricane Irene roared up the Atlantic seaboard in August. An earthquake rocked Washington, D.C. that same month. And a terrible tsunami struck Japan in March. Speaking of disasters, Christian broadcaster Harold Camping predicted the end of the world would take place in May. Fortunately, he was wrong. But May did bring the end to Osama bin Laden, and the year also brought an end to dictators Hosni Mubarak in Egypt, Muammar Gaddafi in Libya, and Kim Jong-il in North Korea. 2011 also marked the end of America's space shuttle program with the final launch of Atlantis last July. And 2011 brought an end to Anthony Weiner's political career, Arnold Schwarzenegger's 25-year marriage to Maria Shriver, and Charlie Sheen's role on Two and a Half Men. Moreover, this year marked the beginning of next year's presidential election. On a happier note, Britain's Prince William married Kate Middleton last April, and the St. Louis Cardinals won the World Series in October. Woo! And those are just a few of the people and events that we talked about right here on Connect FM during the past 12 months.
Wow. Quite a year indeed. Well, there was one thing you mentioned that we haven't talked about previously since it just happened this past week. I refer, of course, to the death of North Korea's dictator, Kim Jong-il. And here with his analysis of Kim Jong-il's passing is our resident expert from the Institute of Knowledge and Learning, Dr. Arnold Heimerdinger, deputy chairperson of the Department of Authoritarian Regimes and adjunct professor of dictatorship history. Good morning, Dr. Heimerdinger.
Good morning, Stevie. It's great to be back on Connect FM with you once again. I always enjoy being with you.
And we always enjoy having you with us since you are an expert and authority on just about everything, including authoritarian regimes and dictators. But before we start talking about Kim Jong-il, I want to ask you a question that I know you've been asked before. Has anyone ever told you you remind them of Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Well, Stevie, as I always say, I hear that all the time, and I can never understand why, because I don't look anything like Arnold Schwarzenegger. All we have in common is our first name, Arnold, which is why you can call me Dr. Heimerdinger.
Dr. Heimerdinger, the sounds you're hearing in the background are from the North Korean television coverage of Kim Jong-il's funeral. Now, you can probably hear the people crying and wailing as they mourn the loss of their dear leader. I might add that Kim Jong-il's son and successor, Kim Jong-un, was walking along the hearse that was bearing his father's coffin at Wednesday's funeral. What can you tell us about Kim Jong-il, and what do you know about Kim Jong-un?
Well, Stevie, first of all, the regime in North Korea has always been a bit of a mystery. North Korea is a very closed society, very secretive. But we do know that a cult of personality was built around Kim Jong-il's father, Kim Il-sung, who was the founder of the communist dictatorship in North Korea. He was known as the Great Leader. And when the Great Leader died, that cult of personality was transferred to his son, Kim Jong-il, who became known as the Dear Leader. And now that Kim Jong-il is dead, the cult has passed to his son, Kim Jong-un, who is now being called the Supreme Leader. Other than that, all we really know about Kim Jong-il comes from his starring role in the film Team America, produced by the same guys who created the TV series South Park. And here's a clip from that film of Kim Jong-il singing a mournful dictator song called I'm Lonely.
So lonely, so lonely inside real alone. There's no one, just me only, sitting on my rental throne. I work very hard and make up great prince, but nobody listens, no one understands. Seems right, no one takes me seriously. And so I'm Ronery. A bit of Ronery.
Heimerdinger, I suppose the point of that song is that it's lonely at the top?
You are correct, Stevie. Very lonely at the top. Even though Kim Jong-il was a ruthless dictator who had every luxury you could imagine, including corporate jets and nuclear weapons, he was, at his core, a very lonely man, like all dictators. They have everything in the world except friends. If only we could provide dictators with friends, maybe the world would be a better place.
Well, that's something to think about in the new year. Maybe every dictator in the world should make a New Year's resolution to find a friend.
Or get a dog. Although Adolf Hitler had a dog named Blondie, and Adolf Hitler was still an evil dictator, so maybe my theory is wrong. Anyhow, as we say down at the Institute, I hope you have ein gutes neues Jahr.
A what?
A happy new year.
Oh, and the same to you, Dr. Arnold Heimerdinger. But right now, we're going to turn our attention to the year ahead. So as we say goodbye to Dr. Heimerdinger, we'll say hello to a panel of experts to talk about the future. Joining us with their predictions for 2012 are former Presidents Bill Clinton and George W. Bush, former Vice President Al Gore, former Secretary of State Henry Kissinger, and our usual counterpoint team of Senator John McCain, Republican from Arizona, and Congressman Barney Frank, Democrat of Massachusetts. And let me begin with former Vice President Al Gore, since I'm told he has a very unusual prediction for the new year. Mr. Vice President, what's your prediction?
Stevie, I predict that 2012 is the year the alien space invasion will finally begin.
Alien space invasion? Sir, what are you talking about?
Stevie, isn't it true that you were out playing golf with your family yesterday afternoon?
Yes, that's true, but what does playing golf with my family have to do with an alien space invasion, sir?
Think about it, Stevie. Playing golf in Champaign County, Illinois, at the end of December, temperature 53 degrees at the end of December. It all ties together. The aliens, who come from a slightly warmer planet circling the neighboring star of Alpha Centauri, have finally succeeded in raising Earth's temperature to the point where they'll feel comfortable here. They did it with the unwitting help of SUV drivers, corporate jet owners, George W. Bush, and bovine flatulence. And now that human-caused and bovine-caused global warming has made it possible for the aliens to live here on Earth, the invasion is about to begin, controlled from a vast underground command post beneath the Denver International Airport.
Wow! That's a rather fantastic prediction, Mr. Gore. President Clinton, would you care to comment on your former vice president's prediction?
Yes, I would, Stevie. I predict that 2012 is the year the men in the white jackets will finally come and take Al Gore away. I also predict that the people of the United States, dissatisfied with both President Obama and the Republican presidential nominee, will vote to amend the Constitution so that former presidents can run for more than two terms, sending me back to the White House in a landslide this November. Within my first 100 days as president, I'll bring unemployment down to 3%, balance the federal budget, and eliminate the debt. 6 months later, there'll be a global referendum, and I'll be named King of the World.
You can't be serious, sir.
No, I'm not. But I figure if Al Gore can win the Nobel Prize for saying crazy stuff, and Barack Obama can win the Nobel Prize for doing nothing, well, I might as well say something outrageous, do nothing, and try to win that $1 million Nobel Prize myself in the new year.
President Bush, what about you? Any predictions for 2012, sir?
Well, Stevie, I predict that the Texas Rangers will meet the St. Louis Cardinals in the World Series once again, and this time the Rangers are going
to
win.
Well, sorry, Mr. President, it ain't going to happen. Although we hope to see the Cardinals in the World Series once again in 2012. They sure had a great series this year. All right, Dr. Kissinger, what about the world scene? You're a former Secretary of State, sir. What predictions can you make about foreign affairs in the year ahead?
Stevie, I predict that Queen Elizabeth will celebrate her 60th anniversary on the throne in February.
That's not a prediction, sir. That's a fact.
All right. Then how about this one? I predict the United States will declare war on Great Britain, invade Canada, and sack Toronto. In response, the British will invade Washington and burn down the White House. But mark my words, we will win the war, no doubt about it.
Dr. Kissinger, there's no doubt about it because that already happened 200 years ago during the War of 1812.
Well, you see, Stevie, my predictions have already come true.
In our remaining moments, let's turn to Congressman Barney Frank and Senator John McCain. Gentlemen, do you have any predictions or New Year's resolutions as we begin the new year? And let's start with Congressman Frank.
Stevie, these predictions and resolutions have been ridiculous, and I'm not going to add anything further to the preposterous comments that have already been made.
Senator McCain, your response?
Stevie, my friend, speaking of the War of 1812, do you know when and where that war was ended?
Well, I certainly do. It ended in 1814 at the Battle of New Orleans.
That's right, my friend. Well done. Happy New Year.
Well, Happy New Year. Thank you, Senator. And when we come back, political humorist Bill Melberg will be announcing Connect FM's Person of the Year. So stay tuned to 93.5, 95.3 Connect FM.
In 1814, we took a little trip along with Colonel Jackson down the mighty Mississippi. We took a little bacon and we took a little beans, and we caught the bloody British in a town in New Orleans. We fired our guns and the British kept a-coming. There wasn't as many as there was a while ago. We fired once more and they began to run it on down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico.
We're back with political humorist Bill Melberg. And Bill, Time Magazine recently named protesters as their persons of the year, recognizing the protesters around the world that were so much in the news this year. What do you think of Time's choice for the person of the year?
Stevie, I thought it stunk. I think it was a shame to salute the people that we saw shouting and screaming in Madison last winter and on Wall Street this fall, leaving their dirt and litter all over the grounds and parks and so on. And those people that we heard shouting and screaming were demanding more and more government benefits and more freebies from the taxpayers. And I have to wonder how many of those protesters ever heard this famous line from President Kennedy's inaugural address 50 years ago.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. My fellow citizens of the world, ask not what America will do for you, but what together we can do for the freedom of man.
John Kennedy, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. That's a little different from what the protesters, Time Magazine saluting, were shouting as they occupied Madison, Wall Street, city centers across the country this year, Bill.
Yes, it certainly is different, and you know, I still remember I was a little kid watching President Kennedy's inaugural address, and I still remember that challenge to all of us. But the protesters were shouting, in effect, ask not what we can do for our country, ask what our country can do for us.
Yeah.
And so I'd like to recognize another group of people as our persons of the year, the people who President Kennedy was talking about half a century ago, America's volunteers.
You mean the people who volunteer their time and talent to help other people through church groups, service clubs, chambers of commerce like that?
Precisely. Mm. The people who do their jobs, pay their taxes, raise their families, and help others in need. And that would include countless young people who volunteer their time and talents through scouting and church groups and so many other ways. And I salute all of them, and I wish you and them a healthy and happy new year.
Well, we have a couple extra minutes today, Bill, and I guess Ross Perot would have had to wait to say volunteers as well.
And the University of Tennessee.
Yeah.
But Ross always used to talk about... See, how are we going to win this election? With the volunteers. They're going to go out there and help get the votes out for us. See what I'm saying? Follow me? It's all up to the volunteers.
Larry.
But of course, you're very familiar with so many different groups and so many people in Champaign and Urbana and the surrounding area who are volunteers in the hospitals and the nursing homes and at sporting events, and they never get any recognition or any credit. I don't think the editors at Time even think about those people, probably because they've never run into those people.
Well, we had fun at an area nursing home a week ago. We went out and just tried to hug a few people. We call it the Hug Club. And we went out and met some residents, and I embarrassed myself because we had a small group, and I said, oh, let's sing them something. She said, I want to hear something. So I said, Frosty the Snowman. La, 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 la. I didn't know the words. So
you should have sang, I want a hippopotamus for Christmas.
That's one of your favorites of the year. That's right. Well, we live in a very blessed nation. I mean, we have an incredible opportunity. You look around the world. What did you used to say? You used to say we can make fun, Pokemon, we can go on living. It was a kind of a quote that you always referred to about being free and being able to poke fun at our leaders.
Yeah, we live in a country where not only can we poke fun at our leaders, but we can go on living after poking fun at our leaders. But you can't do if you make fun of the great leader in North Korea.
I tell you what, that whole situation, I think they kind of waited to see what the kid was going to say before they handed it over. You have these generals, you have the uncle, you have a lot of people that probably wanted access to this power, and if he's going to be on the page, I mean, those guys are going to probably tell him what to do. I wouldn't think that he's going to have any knowledge at all on what to do with North Korea.
Well, plus all those people crying, but no tears. I didn't see any tears.
I don't know. I know that if they were in Pyongyang and applied to live there, they probably did have their nice things, and maybe they don't know what the future holds, and maybe some of that was genuine from the standpoint of they might be kicked out of the city.
Well, just a reminder that we should thank God that we live where we do.
Absolutely, right.
That it's been a tough year we've just gone through, but things are a lot better here than in other places.
Bill, thank you as always, my friend. We'll talk in the first of the year next Friday.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. God bless all of you. Thank you for listening to Connect FM 93.5.53. This is Stevie J, and I'll talk to you next year. God bless. Have a great weekend and a safe weekend.